Hey everyone, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We are in need of your help, the listener. The Air Raid podcast takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money to put on each week. And we need your guys' help on this one. So if you could, please visit our website, www.air-raid.net, and donate a little bit of money to the show. Doesn't have to be much, maybe $5, $20, $30, whatever you think is worth this free entertainment each week. We would really appreciate it, and thank you so much in advance. All right, enjoy the program.
Air Raid!
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 146 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden. And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Once again, we have a fantastic show planned for you this evening. This week. How about that? Try that one on. Shall we? We've got the very great and wonderful Kevin Sir is going to be joining us a little bit later here in the program. Kevin, if you don't know, puts together these music festivals here in the state of Washington, Doe Bay Fest, and also he does this. It's going to be the first year for Timber, an outdoor music festival down there in Carnation, Washington, coming up shortly. So we'll be talking about all that because, of course, it is, you know, it's music festival season, and I'm going to be attending Sasquatch and possibly Timber as well. And I'm always curious about the guys that put this stuff on. Always curious. So it's a good conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll be getting to that shortly. Oh man, I have had a great weekend. Was that just like a straight up brag, right? I apologize for that. There's something to be said for nostalgia and taking a trip through your past. There's something always so great about that, right? And you can experience it in so many ways, like a certain smell that comes up. Somebody says something in a voice that sounds familiar. You can hear a song. Or you could be like me and go on a bike ride through your old college campus at 1:30 in the morning. And fueled by large quantities of liquor and beer, and just have a ball. It was wonderful. Last night, my friend and Will and I went out on the town of Ellensburg and rode some bikes around at around 12 o'clock midnight into the wee hours, and just drank. And reminisced about spending a lot of time on that college campus. It was so great. It was so wonderful. I don't know what got me thinking about it. It could be our last episode with My Goodness that got me thinking about it, because Joel Schneider, of course, went to the same college. But I just had this overwhelming feeling that we needed to go over to Ellensburg, and I needed to do that. I needed to go on a bike ride in a beautiful area of the state at night, so nobody could see me huffing and puffing. And it worked out. I feel recharged, kind of, although I slept for most of the day today, because once we got off the bike ride, we drank some more. But it was wonderful. What a great weekend. The weather here in Washington has been fantastic for the last couple days. It's about 80 degrees or so here in Seattle today. I mean, that doesn't happen very much. It is great, though. But everybody just goes crazy when the sun comes out in this town because everybody has to soak up as much as they possibly can, right? And that's why I like getting the hell out of here when the sun comes out. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be in a really, really hot, hot city when it's super nice out. I want to be next to a really nice, unpopulated beach, right? I don't want to be around people. Maybe I should just move out of the city, right? Maybe this place is not for me. I don't know. But I got to get out of here. And that was one thing that led us to Ellensburg this weekend. Another thing that led us to it. Anyway. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. But yes, people are insane. I mean, the traffic just gets snarled. Nobody can go anywhere, and it just sucks. So, you know, come on, people. Try to walk. Try walking or riding your bike on a nice day, maybe, you know, in the city. Just fuck. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Jesus Christ. Let's just move on, shall we? Can we? Yeah, let's do that. I'm at a loss here, people. We're featuring music today by bands that are going to be at the Timber Outdoor Music Festival in Carnation, Washington. And that is happening on July 26th and 27th. And you can find information on this this really great thing that is planned, and you guys should go to it if you live in the area or if you're coming in from out of town. Go to timbermusicfest.com and check it out. Got a lot of great artists lined up. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be kid friendly too, so keep that in mind. So a lot of great artists, guys, including this band, Fruit Bats, going to be there. Love this band. This song's called You're Too Weird. We'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Kevin Sir. All right, be back in a moment, everybody. Somebody tell me what I'm looking to think. Everyone's saying that I'm just a part of your thing. Say you'd leave me if you could. Soon as the going. I'm the only one who ever believed in you. All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the dining room. Joining me here is Kevin Sir, the man, the myth, the legend behind such things as Dobe Festival and the new upcoming Timber Fest.
Yes.
Right? Is it Timber Fest?
No.
Well, I already got it wrong.
Well,
awesome.
I think it's unavoidable. It's, I mean, technically we called it Timber Outdoor Music Festival.
Okay. Okay.
But the fest thing, like, it's funny because when we, our process to come up with a name for it.
Yeah.
The first thing, like what we said we wanted to make sure we didn't do was have the word fest involved with it.
Right.
Or
right.
Have the word sessions. And, but what's funny is we just put it out there and said Timber Outdoor Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it just turned into Timber Fest. And we're just like, God, there's just no avoiding the fest thing.
No, you can't get away from it.
Yeah. So it's cool. It's whatever people want to call it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the people are going to make it what it is. So,
well, I will personally really try hard not to call it Timber Fest.
Yeah,
I will call it, I'll just say Timber.
Timber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to Timber, guys.
Go to Timber.
Yeah. So you are the chief talent buyer, would you call yourself?
I'm just kind of I'm one of a few different parts, mm-hmm. like moving parts. So
okay.
Dobe Fest, that is me, Joe Brotherton, and Chad Cliburn, and who's a longtime friend.
Great. Uh-huh.
But they're both amazing, close friends of mine. And we just collaborate on all aspects together.
Yeah.
And do it. I tend to deal with the talent more. So,
okay.
Like, I
okay.
think that I get, I don't know, I probably get a
you
little.
You get more frustrated.
That's... Well, no. Like, I think actually Joe deals with the hard stuff.
So, oh, really?
He's dealing with permits and licenses.
Oh, yeah.
Insurance.
That's got to be.
Yeah. I think intense. That I sort of get, I don't know, like my role gets romanticized a little bit and my name gets associated a little bit too much. Because I am, like, you know, with Timber, Chad, you know, my buddy Chad is a partner uh-huh. on that. But Phil O'Sullivan is another partner.
And is this is all, let's, you know, let's bring it into a nice little
sure.
package here. This goes into your business, Artist Home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Artist Home, that is a company that, I don't know, kind of go backwards. I started out in the music industry as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
I toured for about 7 years in a band.
What'd you play?
I played guitar,
yeah.
sang backup. And
yeah.
It was this female fronted punk band back in the day. And
what band?
It was called Lucky Strike.
Okay.
We're out of Sacramento.
Okay.
But I sort of learned the ropes of the industry from the whole, like, kind of grassroots punk DIY
yeah, yeah.
community. So,
yeah.
I did a lot of booking for my own band and then just sort of like my part of giving back to the scene. Like, I was doing a lot of booking for other bands pro bono.
Okay.
When that band ended, I kept on booking for people. Like, I'd just get a call and be like, hey, can you help me book a tour here or there? I'm just, sure. You know, I'd make a few calls and do my mojo. So Artist Home, what happened was, I guess, my wife one day told me, you know, that thing you spend hours and hours doing for free.
Yeah.
And you do it because you say nobody else will do it for these bands. Like, why not? You know, you're supposed to do what you do for free for a living or try
yeah,
to make that.
Yeah.
Why not give it a name? And why not just try to turn it into something? And
yeah.
So Artist Home actually started as a booking agency with a
okay.
roster of really amazing bands.
Mm-hmm.
We did that for a few years. And just through my involvement in the music industry, I before I actually moved up here to the Northwest,
yeah.
I got asked to perform at Dobe One, the first ever Dobe.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
It was, yeah.
So you weren't behind the first one.
No.
When was that? What year was that?
Oh gosh. So I guess that would be 2008.
Oh, it's that old?
Yeah. So
no
this
kidding.
Is the sixth year. And,
no shit. I thought it was only a couple years old. And for those listening out of Washington that don't know what Dobe is, Dobe is a outdoor music festival up in the San Juans.
Yeah,
correct?
It's on Orcas Island.
Yeah,
at the Dobe Resort.
Right,
retreat.
And just a beautiful, beautiful landscape.
It is. It's amazing. And the first time I went there, I met I met Joe and met his wife, and it kind of felt more of a private party. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, this was Joe and Maureen's idea. Like, they bought this place and they always wanted
to. Are they the owners of the resort?
They're the owners of the resort.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
So I performed there, and the entire time I was performing, I wasn't even looking at people. I was just looking at the trees and looking around, just like, oh my God, I can't believe I've never been in the San Juans before.
Right, right.
And I left just thinking, this can really be something.
Mm-hmm.
And talked with Chad, talked with Joe, and just kind of convinced them to let me be involved and help turn it, you know, just help be a part of the team and move it forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And
every picture that I see of that, of that festival, I mean, the pictures are really good. They've got good photographers that are, mm-hmm. that are out there all over the place. Very artsy fartsy guys,
yeah.
walking around with cameras. But but every picture is just like, man, I want to be there.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. I mean, it's like, again, for people that don't know, it's like these little impromptu concerts that just break out on the beach,
yeah.
and in the woods, and mm-hmm. you know, all over the place. You do have stages set up,
yeah.
around the resort, but a lot of music happening all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that we all thought about was just kind of recreating what the festival could be.
Yeah, yeah.
And just making something that fit that environment.
Right,
the resort itself is just gorgeous. It's a beautiful place where time stands still. It's quiet. I mean,
yeah.
I love going up there during the year, and now it's booked all the time during the year. I think, you know, in part because I think so many people see it through the festival and go, oh my God, I want to do a staycation. I'm just going to go over to Orcas and time, you know, check out for a while. But yeah, one of the things that was definitely put out there to the bands the first year that we were just really making this public and pushing it,
mm-hmm.
Was just, you know, what if there's anything you want to do to like enhance your artistic experience, we want this to be a summer camp for musicians. We want this to be, let us know and we'll do the whatever crazy ideas you have, that take advantage of the landscape. Mm-hmm. We will help you. We'll make it happen or just go and do it.
Yeah.
And, so I think Sound on the Sound, were big advocates very early on, and they came out there and they sort of did, they took advantage of that and started doing their Dobe sessions where they brought like an amazing sound engineer, Chris Proff, Tyler Kalberg is a wonderful director, and they produced the Dobe sessions.
Right.
And I think which capture like, you know, takes a lot of work to produce those things.
Yeah.
Like I'm really, you know, like Tyler, Abby, Josh, those, you know, Chris, those people.
Yeah. Josh has actually been on this show as well. Josh Loveseth.
He's a little while ago. But people don't realize how hard those things are to make.
Oh, yeah.
And but they go out there, and I think they capture a lot of what the attendees experience throughout the whole weekend.
Because
you just be sitting around, and I think half the audience are musicians, and things just happen.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that Joe and Chad and everyone there like to think of it is it's this empty canvas. Fill it with a bunch of great artists and people and let them tell this, let them create the story, let them do something. And it's really worked out.
Yeah.
And it's been just an amazing experience.
And so this is going to be the first year for Timber.
Yes.
Right. See, did you notice how I didn't say Timberfest?
I like that.
I'm
but you just did.
I said, well, I was just trying to point that out because I wanted some kudos from you, dude.
Yeah.
So this is the first year for Timber.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you're coming into this, this new festival?
Yeah. Timber, I mean, it's going to have its own identity. I think that,
but it's still kind of the same. It's like kind of the same idea though.
We're the same. Yeah. It's the same people. Like me and Chad, I mean, Phil, even though Phil's not involved in the programming at Dobe, he's been at every Dobe and he's played at it twice.
Right.
I mean, it's much of the same human beings involved in organizing it. So the environment they're going to walk into is somewhat similar, you know? So, we're getting, you know, we're kind of just having a lot of fun with the space. Timber is actually a partnership with King County Parks.
Okay.
So King County Parks actually approached us about bringing a music festival there. And I think
And this is in Carnation, Washington.
Yeah, Carnation. Yeah. And they kind of mentioned a number of different parks that they would love us to come into, but specifically we're like, this park is perfect. And mm-hmm. we completely thought so. They partnered with us to help make it work because we're not this huge company. We're so grassroots that everything we make just has to be made with our bare hands. And and they made it work so that we can bring this festival there. And
are you nervous?
I am not nervous. I'm just I'm insanely excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I think, you know, it's a chance. It's going to be a little bigger than Doe Bay.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually...
Well, it's definitely, it's got more capacity, right?
Yeah. So Doe Bay is about 40 acres. This is 540 acres.
Yeah.
And it's closer to home, so it's just 40 minutes away.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm just more excited in these first few years that the festival happens to see what the audience makes of it. Because that's really what has made our event so great.
Right.
Is just, you know, great people coming in there. And I mean, it, you know, we're talking about, you know, and we're also working on a lot of things outside of just the music programming that are going to be pretty unique to this too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just using our creative, you know, brains to try to come up with ways just to make the ultimate weekend experience for people who love music, have an appreciation for the outdoors, and you know, want to camp.
Right. And,
yeah, so we've like confirmed an astrophysicist from UW is gonna come out
and do a talk
and do a star talk.
What?
And we're gonna have local astronomy groups with like a, you know, a bunch of telescopes to show people.
Now that must have been your idea.
It was my idea and Tony Kevin Jr.'s.
Okay.
We're actually in an astronomy club.
Well, see, we're friends on Facebook, and I saw a picture that you had posted.
Yeah.
I don't know, was it a week ago or something? A picture of the moon through your telescope, and it looked awesome.
I know. It sucks because that's with my iPhone, and
right,
it looks like a million times more awesome.
Oh, I bet. But, totally.
Yeah, we have this little gorilla. It's called... it's actually really cool, but it's called Nerds Night Out, and it's mostly musicians and people, but it's a handful of us that kind of found out that we're all really geeked out about astrophysics and science.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And last year we just started like going out and stargazing together and learning, teaching ourselves the night sky and how to do it, you know, how to look at the night sky with the telescope and all these things.
Yeah.
But this summer we have plans to like, it's called Urban Gorilla Astronomy. So like, we're actually going to set up on busy sidewalks and busk with our telescopes.
Like, come and check this out.
Come, just be like,
just get people walking up.
Every time I'm out on my street corner, everyone who walks by is like, "Hey, what are you looking at?" And I show them and I talk to them, and it's almost like a mini lecture.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And we're just super amped. So like, with Timber, we talked about how can we not just program a bunch of music, but program like a great summer camp experience. Like, program. Like what are your, you know, program ways that will make people appreciate the outdoors even more.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
To me, there's no grander way to appreciate nature than, you know, looking at the cosmos and seeing what's out there. So that's going to be a part of it. There's hiking trails there. There's going to be mountain biking clubs there. There's a
man.
Yeah. So there's actually, it's known for having these beautiful, amazing mountain biking trails. So we're working on, we have, a couple, I guess we do have a mountain biking club that's going to be there, and we're working on getting like a bike company to come up and, you know, have demos for people to like go up and do some mountain biking. And so we're working on a lot of those different things. We're even thinking about like our pink salmon running at that time, which I'm reading that it's the first like very early in the season. So maybe we'll have like people want to sign up for a really quick fishing course, or
Wow, that's going to be great, man.
Yeah, it's going to be...
super family-friendly, too.
Yeah, you know? It's everything we do is family-friendly, you know, and it doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's weird. It doesn't mean that it's going to be children's music or anything
right,
that.
Yeah.
I mean,
but well, let's go down the list here. I mean, we've already got some amazing acts lined up already. The Helio Sequence, Fruit Bats, Quasi, which I haven't heard from forever.
Yeah.
So super excited about that.
Totally.
Brian John Appleby, Lamolo, Kithkin, all of whom have been on this show.
Cool.
Just a awesome list of musicians that are going to be there. Yeah. And this happens July 26th and 27th down in Carnation, Washington. So get your tickets now. You can find it at timbermusicfest.com. And it says fest in there.
I know.
So, you know, that's not my, I think, that's not, I know, my fault.
I know. I just, I wish. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah. So, hey, you're a dad, right?
Yes.
You got two kids.
I got one kid.
Oh, one kid.
Yeah. There was there's an old article that I think said I had two kids or something.
Oh, for some reason, I kind of Facebook stalked you before I asked you to come on the show.
Yeah.
And I thought I saw you with two kids. I don't know.
Kids just climb on me wherever I go.
Yeah, So. You're a very climbable guy.
Yeah, I have one. I have a boy.
Yeah, and he's
two.
Two, right?
I'll turn three in June.
Yeah. My kid just turned two last Sunday.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you about being a dad and trying to juggle all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Because it's insanity.
It is.
Right?
It is, yeah. And that's, I got to just say, a big part of my life over the last, year, I mean, personally, has been not really working hard to, you know, in the traditional way of getting ahead, trying to get the promotion.
Yeah.
It's been working hard to create more quality time with my son, with my wife.
Yeah.
Not getting, you know, going that extra mile to find more freedom in a way. And it's just very, and I've definitely, you know, we're really lucky. Like my wife teaches music.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple days a week where she's home, and those days I go out and I, you know, put in like a 10, 12 hour day.
Right. Right.
You know, working, and it's so, but you know, other days a week, I, you know, if I'm with my kid, my phone is off, my computer's shut off.
Yeah.
I'm 100% with him. And it wasn't like that before. Where before it was like, I feel like every time I'm around him, I'm like advancing shows on my phone and
right.
doing the normal rigmarole.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's taken like a conscious effort to like make more time.
It has. But it's also opened up a lot more opportunities. You know, I think.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, I think that a lot of these things like kind of dwindling down the amount of hours that I work a week, or it makes those hours that I do work way more focused and organized. I'm actually become more productive.
Right, right.
I don't think Timber could have really happened if I didn't like take care of my schedule and just trim the fat a lot from my work schedule before.
Well, I'm glad you didn't trim the part where you go on podcasts.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think for any parent, it's really hard. I mean, most parents, you both got to work, and I think it seems like to me, every couple, it's almost like you have different tricks and a unique formula for making it work.
How's your kid sleeping?
Yeah, great.
Is he?
Yeah, actually, it's one thing I don't complain about.
Fuck you.
I know.
That's you suck.
Knocking on wood. we did the whole crying it out thing.
Oh my God. See, we did that once the daylight savings time hit.
Oh, that
you
sucks.
You know, like a month ago or something.
Yeah.
Or 2 months ago. The shit hit the fan. Like ever since then.
Hasn't been. Daylight savings is terrible for parents.
it's horrifying.
So are like little vacations or anything like
that. Oh yeah, man. Everything just throws them off.
Yeah. But the days where I'm home with my son, I mean, don't kill me, but he will ask to take a nap.
What?
Yeah. And he will take himself to his room, put himself down. I just put the blankets on him and he's out for like 2 hours.
My God.
Sometimes
you are a lucky man.
I know. And like I remember when we did the crying it out thing. I mean, there's everyone has their own way. And I think every parent needs to just do what works for them. And, for us, it was just like wanting him to figure out how to soothe himself, I think.
Right.
And
right.
Those first two nights were terrible. And I was the weakling who wanted to keep going.
Really?
But, it worked. Like night three from then on, like,
man,
he would give like, you know, even a 5-6 hour straight. That's great. You know, now he wakes up at night and I think he's just confused by like, is it morning yet?
Yeah.
And we just played, no,
well, it's probably, he's, you know, 2 years old. They're probably starting to have dreams, things like that, you know, so they can have some scary ones in there.
That'll happen in batches. But yeah, I will not complain about sleep because I have it way better than most anyone I know. So
you
I'm
do,
lucky.
Man.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane. Now you're going to tell me he's potty trained already, too.
No, he's okay, starting now. We have like the Thomas candy. a little Pez dispenser.
Oh, nice.
Thomas the Tank Engine on top.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so, you know, he's working on
it. Let me ask you this. What shows does your kiddo watch TV?
Yeah.
Allow him to watch some TV?
Oh, totally. He's allowed to watch some TV. It's weird, though. He doesn't like television. He doesn't watch much, like, even if we put on, like, Sprout or something in the morning.
Yeah.
Which we were doing for a little bit. He thought The Little Chicken was hilarious. But if he's more into movies.
Okay. Will he sit through a whole one, though?
He will sit through a whole movie.
No kidding.
I mean, he'll talk and he'll, like, dance and he'll do whatever. Like, lately it's been Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah.
Well, see, at least he's watching stuff like that. Like, we're stuck. Like, my daughter has gotten into Dora.
Yeah.
The Explorer. That is the most annoying show I've ever seen in my life.
I have friends who talk about The Wiggles, and they're just
I have not had to watch that.
Yeah.
Yo Gabba Gabba, that's kind of entertaining because it's so weird. But there's some bad children's programming out there.
Yeah. And I honestly, sometimes I'm like, man, like, you know, Channel 9's been on for a while. You know, I need to turn this off. We need to get outside. And, he loves Monsters, Inc., loves Finding Nemo.
Oh, see, that's great.
Cars.
That's great. If I could get my daughter to sit down and actually just, you know, pay attention to one of those.
Yeah.
She kind of loses interest after about a half an hour.
Yeah, I think.
Then she's done.
Yeah,
and we're running around again.
I remember when the first time I played him a movie, it was Finding Nemo, and I was just kind of like, I need to like nap.
Yeah,
but he's not ready to nap, and
I just remember
opening my laptop and was like, Finding Nemo, and he only I think he was only into it for like a half hour. But after that half hour. He's like, okay, I'm done. But he was like, Nemo, you know,
Now
talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, like, he sings, like, the musical cues. Like, he knows the motifs of, like, the score, which freaks us out. And, like the opening, like, there's this beautiful, like, jazz clarinet, like, opening to Monsters, Inc. And he'll sing them all the little melodic motifs. And it's not a song.
Right,
and we're
right.
Whoa. And it's
pretty amazing what they retain at such an early age.
It is really amazing. We even like downloaded the scores to like the few movies that, and we'll just like play it and we'll ask him to tell us what it is and he'll name. And so we think that's a great little exercise. And
the more
we could get him to recognize music and better. So,
what do you think you're going to do? You guys going to send him into public school or
probably?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to be a homeschooled kid.
Yeah, no. I think we'll probably do public school.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about it. We haven't.
See, this is the shit.
I think
this
we
is
just
the shit that just like it's like building up in the back of my mind. Like I'm not freaking out about it yet. But this is the stuff that just starts, you know, this little brain cloud. Like in Joe versus the Volcano. I got a brain cloud up there.
I was worried. Like, I got to admit, like, I was like, man, my kid's just all energy, all boy.
Yeah,
like, and I was worried until we started taking him to this daycare, Blossoming Buds, out, like, on 75th in Wedgwood. And right away, he just took to it and loves it. Loves going there. Loves, like, and behaves really well, and kind of they actually get him to sit down during like snack time or story time, which is like a miracle. And so all of a sudden I was like, you know what? Yeah, like the environment kind of kid'll get it. And but in terms of like public school, I got kicked out of Catholic school. So
tell me that story.
Oh man,
what was that?
That was just years of just unfortunate. Like, I should never been in that place. I think I asked too many questions.
Yeah.
I remember asking about the Big Bang. And,
oh, like, God.
Asking about certain things about faith. And
yeah.
But just was just a misfit and didn't feel like I fit in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I think it's just, I had early on a habit of just questioning authority too much. and there's just a lot of authority in the church. And we left. I mean, pseudo got kicked out in the seventh grade, went to public school, immediately was getting straight A's and loved it.
Uh-huh.
Like, had electives, like, oh my God, I could take wood shop. Like, and I get to get out of my classroom and walk to the next class.
Yeah.
Like, even that little break.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, you know, and all through Catholic school and all that, like, I was a kid with too much energy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would get in trouble, and I probably barely played at lunchtime because I couldn't stop tapping my foot.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. And, whereas I went in a public school and everything switched.
Oh, yeah.
And I did really well, and I had a great experience, and there was just more diversity and more, I mean, I was learning languages, and I mean, in the Catholic school I went to, they didn't have any of that.
Right. So, right.
I think that's just in my household. There's not really much of a question about it. So even though my wife teaches at a Catholic school, loved it.
This is a great spot to take our second musical break.
Sure.
We're featuring bands, of course, from the upcoming Timber Music Festival.
Yes. Whatever you want to call it. Timber Fest.
There, Timber.
I said it.
Timber. With an exclamation point. That's coming up July 26th and 27th down in Carnation, Washington. So get your tickets now. This is Helio Sequence, and the song is called Hall of Mirrors. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. Welcome back. Joining me here in the dining room studios is Kevin Sir.
How you doing?
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
I love your last name so much. So when we left for that break, we were talking a little bit about your background in Catholic school and getting kicked out in seventh grade and all of a sudden realizing that you were good at being a student.
Yes, totally.
Too much energy. I had a lot of energy when I was a kid as well. But I think, like, some of it, and I still kind of deal with it just a little bit. I think I might have, like, ADD a little bit.
I often think that, too. But honestly, I just think that I always reference this book, this article, but there's a Time magazine article that came out maybe 10, 15 years ago, something like that. But I remember reading it, and it like told my story to a T.
Yeah.
And it was just about how the classrooms are failing boys and how the classroom environment wasn't just, and it's scientists talking about how the modern day Western classroom environment is not designed for just the genetic, you know, makeup of boys and what makes them different.
Yeah.
Just how, why like it was like 98% of the kids in the special ed classes that were troubled or having learning disabilities, all boys, all these different things. But reading about how like, yeah, you teach kids math while they're throwing a baseball back and forth or actually retain it way faster than in a classroom sitting still.
Yeah. Doing something active.
Yeah. And just, there's this debate about how even talking about just kind of genetic disposition of being a boy or girl is even saying it's controversial. But I remember it really spoke to me, and I was just like, no, like, I just want to actively learn.
Yeah.
And I think why I succeeded, why I felt like did way better in public school than private and Catholic school is just because I was really curious. I was really curious about a lot of things. I was more like very aggressive about wanting to learn specific things, and the variety of classes that I could take in that environment just suited that. And it's still to this day, like we talked about astronomy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've always been really fascinated, but never, you know, one day a light bulb went off and it's like, I can go out with a telescope and I can go and see and became obsessed. Like,
right.
Reading every book and like going out and doing it. And it's, I tend to do that with a lot of different things. And I just think that that, you know, it's not ADD, it's just being, having a lot of interests.
Right.
And, you know, they don't always apply to the environment you're in.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Totally. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did way better in college
than
I did in like high school.
Totally.
You know, because I could focus on stuff that I was interested in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about astronomy a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
I can tell that, like, I see that twinkle in your eye, Kevin.
Sure.
Every time that comes up. So when I was growing up, I lived over in this small town called Indianola, over on the Kitsap Peninsula. And my parents owned this house and then these two small, like, little tiny cabins on the same piece of property.
Yeah.
And there was a guy living there who was really into astronomy.
Yeah.
And he built his own telescope, and this thing was giant. It must have been, you know, like the base of it, just the stand was about 10 well, maybe not 10 feet in diameter, but, you know, at least like 5 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And it was this giant, you know, cylinder tube. I think it was just made out of cardboard, like a sonotube or something like that. They would use in construction.
Yeah.
For construction purposes.
It's very common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was enormous. It was like, you know, it was like 3 feet wide.
Yeah. Was it like on a Lazy Susan on the ground?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Yeah. Those are some of the best like homemade.
Yeah. And he would bring it out and like, on clear nights, you know, and he just, you know, us kids would just go walk back there and go and check out, you know, Jupiter.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I just have the fondest memories of looking through that stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing what, I don't know, like, The friends of mine that go out, you know, the nerds, which my wife's just like, are you going out with the nerds tonight? And like, I mean, we just have like a deep, insane reaction to seeing things for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I actually never looked through a telescope in my life. Like,
up until when?
Up until last summer. Like,
that's right when that's when you got your first telescope?
And I wasn't even mine. Like, we just, I asked around till I found a friend that had one, and then he was interested. So and it was this terrible $20 telescope, but we went out and went up into Issoua, into the mountains.
Oh, cool.
And ended up seeing Jupiter for the first time and seeing the Galilean moons with it. And, and then inherited, just kind of have on a long-term loan, a nice telescope that my wife's family had, like, in a closet. Other members of the group just started, like, you know, bought nice telescopes, and we go out and I don't know. I just think that I could like look at one object for hours.
Yeah.
Like I can look at the Orion Nebula.
And you can see that stuff in the city? too?
You like, can, actually. Yeah? You can. You'd be surprised what you can see, but the second you go outside of the city, the quality of it.
Oh, it's just amazing.
It makes you so sensitive to light pollution.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was reading a book by Terence Dickinson, who's, if you ever like want to just get into astronomy and figure out how to look at and see and study the night sky.
Mm-hmm.
He's my favorite writer, but one thing that stood out was like only one in five people in America have actually seen the band of the Milky Way.
You know what? And that right there drives me nuts.
It does. Yeah.
Because growing up in a small town, I mean, even you grew up in Hawaii too.
Yeah.
You can definitely see it out there.
Totally.
But like when you, and this is, I thought about this when you were talking just a second ago too, is like, you really become detached.
Yes.
From the rest of the universe, well, living in a city.
Yeah.
Because you can't see any of that stuff.
The beauty of it is you just realize how, you know, I think the one thing I get most, like I'm not a religious person, but when I look out and like into the cosmos and I see objects, it's the closest thing I could say that I have to like a religious experience. And the only reason why is because the science and the math behind it, knowing how far away it is or knowing how immense it is, just trying to fathom the size of the universe, of the galaxy, you know, like it reminds me of how much my problems and the things I obsess over and worry about are complete bullshit.
Oh yeah.
And it's a great reminder. It's a great reminder to say, wow, we are so insignificant. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not in a bad way, but just we are so a part of this universe. You
right.
know?
Right.
Learning about how we're made of the same exact stuff that Orion Nebula is made out of. And learning that we're part of a star cluster and that, you know, universe.
Isn't it true? Earth is in the Milky Way.
Yes.
We are part of the Milky Way.
Yes.
I remember hearing that for the first time, looking up at the Milky Way and realizing that we are in that same band of like stars.
Yeah.
Our planet is a part of that huge circular band of the Milky Way. And you're basically just looking up at the other end of it. Right.
Yeah. Well, you can't even see the other end because you can't see past the center of it. You know, in summer,
you're
looking towards the core of the Milky Way.
Oh, okay.
So you're tilted towards it so you can see. But you're never seeing the other side.
So you're okay.
You're
I always thought of it as like this like loop, this big loop of Milky Way.
Yeah. It's
stars.
Like think of it as like a Frisbee.
Okay.
And we're kind of three quarters of the way out on one end.
Uh-huh.
We can't. Or at least I can't say this, but when you look at it with your naked eye, I don't even think you're seeing halfway.
Right, right. You can't see, can't see that far.
Yeah, and that Frisbee has like a couple arms and it's just slowly spinning. I don't want to quote exact, but I want to say it's 10.5 times that we have actually gone around the Milky Way.
In the history of the Earth?
The history of the solar system.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm a big stickler. I should not like have said that because I don't know. But it's something like that.
Well,
I'll
get an email.
But like one thing is like you could see Andromeda.
Right.
Right? Most of everything you see is actually within in the Milky Way.
Uh-huh.
But when you look at Andromeda, which is the nearest object outside of the Milky Way, there's something. And one thing I just blows my mind is when I look at it through a telescope or I show other people, this is Andromeda. This is like, it's way bigger than the Milky Way.
Yeah.
But the thing that freaks me out is somebody did a calculation or somebody, I don't know if it was in one of my books or one of the many like astrophysics like shows I watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell people this is like 100,000 light years across. So the light that's hitting your eye from the top of this little oval from the back end of it left during the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
The light that left, that's the photons that are hitting your eyeballs right now in the front of it left during like the first men.
Yeah.
And it just,
it's insane.
That is how huge that is. So that little speck.
Yeah.
You know, this little oval. But, you know, and it's, I'm obsessed with the night sky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I, you know, I'm lucky to have friends who are, and like,
I want to come out with you one of these nights.
Anytime, man.
And look at this stuff.
I send open invitations on Facebook all the time, and I'm just, we go down to like Magnuson Park.
Yeah. But yeah.
We'll go up to Lake Goodwin out near Marysville.
Oh yeah.
For really clear skies. Uh-huh, and we'll go out to, we'll go up to Issaquah as well.
Yeah.
Depending on which direction we want to look.
That's one of the reasons why I like getting out of the city.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the summer, you know, is to be able to see that stuff again. Because like totally. I was saying, you feel so detached from, I don't know, nature in general,
absolutely.
You know, and the universe is part of that. And we're going to Ellensburg this weekend.
Cool.
And I'm really excited because they get some amazing clear nights over there.
Yeah. Friday night's going to be high quality.
Yeah, dude.
It's going to be very visible. We're actually going to Leavenworth.
Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All our partners were heading up there this weekend, and I looked ahead and I'm like, okay, I won't bring my telescope, but I'll bring my binoculars. And cause you could see a ton with your binoculars.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Really?
You could see Jupiter. You could see the moons of Jupiter.
Shut up.
You could see, if you have like 10 to 50 binoculars, which you can find on Craigslist for 30 bucks, you can do so much astronomy. You could see so much of the night sky.
I'd need like some sort of tripod for them though. Because,
but 10 by 50s are not. If you get
bigger but still, than that, like I just shake too
but
much.
There's actually a trick. Like... some people get little inflatable like kid rafts.
Oh yeah,
they lay back in it,
uh-huh.
and the sides of it prop their elbows.
Right, right. Yeah,
but there
idea.
Are tripods for just a little like $20 hookup to your camera tripod.
Yeah,
works fine.
Cool.
So yeah, but I mean. The things we're passionate
that's pretty,
about.
That's pretty nerdy, though. You go out and you buy a floaty just for that reason.
Oh, but it's there's things you could see with your binoculars that you can't see with your telescope because they're too. The telescope focuses on
too,
a smaller part of the sky, where like the things like the Seven Sisters, the Pleiades, you need binoculars to see that, or like the Beehive Cluster, like star clusters and different things.
Beehive Cluster.
Yes, that's up right now. And
dude.
It's freaking insane.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I gotta come out. I gotta.
You gotta just come out. But I think like how this relates to Timber is like, you know, all the things that we're passionate as you know in our normal lives, we bring into an event, and I think we just bring in things that we love, that we enjoy, and I think when we do that, it just comes across in a very authentic way.
Yeah.
And I think like Tony Kevin, who's part of my nerd group, he wants to give a talk. Like, you know, the astrophysicist is going to talk, but he's like, no, I want to say something. Like, I want to talk about the cosmos and how easy it is or whatever. But the other aspects, you know, the family-friendly part of it, just because, you know, two-thirds of us are parents.
Uh-huh.
And we think about how would I want to experience this festival. I have a kid.
Right.
You know, so we're working on having, like, a root beer garden. We're working on having, like, you know, certain vendors that are specifically for the children. Like, little impromptu concerts that are for these kids in the quiet camping area, stuff like that. So, you know, I think it's fun how much of our passions in our regular life just seep into our events.
Yeah.
And then also like having musicians there, and you never know, you know, what the musicians, what the audience members are going to bring.
Oh yeah.
And it's just a very open communal environment. And I think people that have become very passionate about coming to our events, they just understand that they're not just there to observe it, they're there to really be a part of it.
And so, it's for the experience too, right?
Yeah, it's just the experience, and it's just the feeling of togetherness. Like it's just a great audience of people, and I feel like with Doe Bay every year, Joe, Chad, myself, like people that are regularly there working it, like you pretty much know everybody in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not because they're like in your social circle beforehand, but it's just because you've had these great experiences over the years and you just see them again.
Yeah.
And every year is like a reunion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
so are you running around, like a chicken with your head cut off at one of these things?
Yes. Very much so.
Okay. Okay.
And honestly, I don't experience them that much.
Right. Right.
And it's kind of weird. It's,
cause you sound pretty laid back. For being,
I'm like, very yeah. I'm really laid
being
back,
like
but
fairly
I'm,
busy.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm really laid back, but I'm also like I just get shit done.
Right,
like I'm kind of I just put my head down and plow through, and I'm terrible at delegating work. I will say that much, because if I just see something that needs to get done, my habit is just to do it.
Yeah,
something I'm learning how to do a better.
Right. But, right.
I think the first year I was involved in helping organize Dobe, I saw two bands out of the 14, 15 or so bands that played there.
Right.
That was it. And at the end of it, I was just exhausted and my feet were killing me, like everything. And, but it was hearing other people's experiences that just brought, like, lit me up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for anyone who organizes these events, anyone involved, you just get an insane amount of joy, like, hearing people talk about, you know, really literally saying, this was the best weekend of my life.
Yeah.
These are one of the, this is like every year. It's time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. You see Facebook go crazy with all the, we call it post-Adobe friending.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
everyone just becomes friends with everyone.
Right.
Like,
right.
everyone's looking for a chance to reunite and to do stuff. And it's, yeah, it's really great to sit back and go, wow, like, it's, yeah, we created that. And we, you know, Joe and Maureen had this space that they opened up, and all of a sudden everyone's found their, like, best friends or future,
right, right.
you know, future wives. It's really weird, but it's, that is, like, just the most rewarding thing.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I can imagine that feels pretty good.
It feels really good.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, throughout it, it's just running around, cleaning up, you know, solving, putting out fires and
yeah, yeah.
doing whatever we have to do. And then it's right. just more hearing it through everyone else's stories yeah. afterward that you're like, oh, wow, that was great. I didn't experience it at all, but, you know.
right, right. At least you can see it on Facebook, though, man.
Totally. And, you know, and then we'll go up to Dobe when it's not festival time and
yeah,
just
yeah.
take a time out with the family.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So what do you, cause there definitely is a festival season now.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the United States,
like yeah.
there's just festivals all over the place.
It's now. Crazy.
Yeah. And, are you worried that as these things get bigger and more popular, that they're going to lose that initial luster that they had on them, like something like Dobe, right?
Yeah.
Is that sold out now? Is it sold out already?
No, I actually stay out of the tickets.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
But I imagine that as that gets more popular, people of a different, you know, I hesitate to say like different breed,
yeah.
you know, find out about that kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah, we want to go to that.
Yeah, well, I think the thing about Dobe, it's such a pain in the ass to get there.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
honestly, I mean, for a music festival, it's a commute. You know, it's
yeah,
3
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, but people will go for that experience,
and people
right?
go. But I think it weeds out the, you know, honestly, yeah. weeds out some of those people who just uh-huh. don't have their act together. And
so you're not worried about things kind of getting away from what they're originally intended to be?
No, because not for our own events.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of, you know, honestly, like I see a lot of kind of festivals come up and they've been around and they try to like mirror, use the same language that are used to describe what we do and
yeah, yeah.
try to switch their marketing to be like, what are they doing? You know,
uh-huh.
Fact is just when it comes down to it, we would never put anything on that we wouldn't ourselves pay money to go and see.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know our audience, you know, for the most part, we will get to know them on a first name basis and some of the best ideas come from them.
Yeah.
And, I think people look at putting on festivals, you know, for reasons where they say, oh, this must've made this much money. So that's a good business move. If I just buy these bands to come and play, then, you know, their draw will show up and blah, blah, blah. And
right. Right.
It's just not how we go about doing things. We definitely think about just the experience that people are going to have at our events
okay.
and what kind of memories that are going to be created for them and how they're going to walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason Dobe sells out before anyone knows who's playing because it's about the event. It's
right,
not about
right.
a name on the marquee.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, with good fortune, good luck, you know, Timber will take the same route where, mm-hmm. people understand that it's about this place, this time that everyone's going to be together and that we're going to create a unique experience no matter what.
Yeah.
And the name on the, you know, the names on the lineup won't matter. And what's great about that is when the names don't matter as much. And we've even done this with Timber for year one is we have an open submission process.
Uh-huh.
everyone who sends in, like, I would love to play. Here's a link to my music. I listen to every single one. And we always put aside a good portion of the lineup for bands that no one's heard of that we think are amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Del Bay, every year, the portion of the lineup that is dedicated to that grows.
Yeah.
And you can go back to past years and be like, oh, my God, these bands, yeah, no one knew who they were before they played. They blew up. Like, and so that faith in our events allows us to create these experiences where people go, and it's like being taken to a movie you never saw a trailer for, but it was mind-blowing. It's so much more, the experience is so much greater having not known what you're going to walk into and then be blown away by it. So like when people go to our festivals, it's not just seeing those familiar names. It's seeing names that we spend a lot of time researching that they've never heard of.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go there. They're going to be in the most beautiful environment, and they're going to see that person, that next artist they're going to fall in love with for the first time.
And you'll be able to see the stars.
Totally. And you're going to be able to, you know, like, you know, hopefully play Capture the Flag at night, like do silly things like that, you know, and you're going to have campfires.
I love it.
Yeah. There's all these fire pits. I mean, burn ban permitting, but we anticipate a lot of the people who are getting premium campsites, musicians are just going to gravitate there. I tell people, just, you know, leave a bottle of something out and, you know, somebody's going to walk up and ask to sing a song, you know? But I think that's, you know, those are the kind of little things that I think really make a difference, is we're not trying to play the draw game that other talent buyers do. You know, some of the artists I'm really excited about that either I think don't get enough love or just no one's heard of them. Vikesh Kapoor, he's this protest singer who moved here from Boston. And I listened to, I got 400 submissions for Timber in 1 month. I think 200 of them were singer-songwriters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the fact that he stood out, like, was a shock. And just really to be able to encapsulate a political environment or just a feeling about government or about society in general is, it's very difficult. But to put in a song and have it affect me, I was like, wow, this kid's amazing. Then I go in and love his process, but I go look on Facebook on his music page. He moved to Portland. Zero friends liked him. And I was like, yes, like this is a band. No, this is an artist no one knows.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool that you get excited about that.
I get really excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, a band that I've loved for years. They're actually probably always in my top five favorite bands in the whole Northwest, Baltic Cousins. We haven't announced it yet, but they're playing.
Okay.
We confirmed them. And they're going to be there, and they put on just one of the best. Their new album is just,
I'm going to have to check them out.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is just, it's so good. And, Hobosexual is another band that are this just heavy, heavy rock. And I've enjoyed them for years now, but for some reason, the music community hasn't really come around.
Yeah.
In, at least in terms of how much they should. For that band, for how freaking good they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, Timber's going to be, you know, Timber's kind of expanding the wings a little bit in terms of getting louder.
Right.
And so the things that we get excited about as programmers are just with Timber, with Dobe, with everything we do, there's just always something new.
Yeah.
And it's always trying to get a band on the map for the first time, because all of us programmers have been there.
Yeah.
We've all struggled as artists.
Totally, man.
And so,
well, I think it's fantastic. And I can tell you have a lot of passion for it, and I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. So, I'm excited for it. I'm going to try to make it out to Timber this year.
Yeah.
And come and check it out and hang out with you for like about 5 seconds before you have to dart off somewhere else.
Who knows? If I do a good job delegating volunteers, maybe I'll be able to stand around more, but we'll see.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'm excited for it, and I'm excited for you and what the future holds for Timber and of course for Dode Bay. When is Dode Bay taking place now?
August 8th through 11th.
Okay. Okay.
On Orcas.
Yeah.
Every year.
Know the website for that one?
Just DodeBayFest.com.
DodeBayFest. Okay. Yeah, go and check that out, everybody. Yeah. And you can check out a lot of like great videos and great pictures of Dode Bay if you're curious about it at Sound on the Sound blog. So go and check that out as well. But Kevin, thank you so much for coming, man.
Thanks
this
for having me.
It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely.
I want to have awesome. I want to have you back on, and I don't want to talk about festivals.
Sure.
But I want to talk more about like the universe, because that's super interesting.
You need to, yeah. What we need to do is have me back, but let me bring Tony and like our little nerds, because we will be out doing like guerrilla astronomy.
Dude, that would be really fun.
We're gonna.
You know what I could do is, you know what would be fun to do is just like bring one of my field recorders along and just record that.
Oh, absolutely. Like we'll
let's do that.
Yeah,
let's do that.
So if anyone's walking around Ballard and like see a bunch of nerds with telescopes on Market, just come, we'll show you stuff.
We're going to do that this summer, man. It's going
to
happen.
We're talking about busking and having all the change donated to NASA since all the funding's been pulled. But who knows?
That's great. Just have little tip jars out for NASA.
Oh, yeah. It would make a great viral video, I think.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Oh, that's so cool, man. Well, thank you so much again for coming on.
Is there
anything you need to plug? Does Timber have a Twitter feed or anything like
that? Yeah, I mean, we're on Twitter. We're definitely more Facebook savvy than Twitter savvy.
Okay.
But yeah, timbermusicfest.com. Tickets are, just $45 for the whole weekend.
Nice.
Super affordable.
Nice.
But not only that, but the food is going to be affordable. And we're very picky about, the quality of food that's going to be there. Beer is actually going to be super affordable too.
Nice.
It's just one of our pet peeves. We actually have stainless steel pint glasses.
So you can reuse them.
Yeah, you buy a stainless steel pint glass for like 10, I think it's like $10.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you get $1 off every pint you buy. So it ends up being like $4 a beer.
Oh, man.
For Sierra Nevada.
That's great.
So just know that it's crazy affordable, crazy accessible. There's still some premium accommodations available. Which all of them are designed for large groups.
Right, so right. Like the yurts and things like that.
Yeah, like the yurts are like $1,000, but honestly, with the yurts and all the tent space you get with it, you could get like groups of like 20 people.
Oh, yeah.
So it really is cool, and there's only like one left. So get
so
it.
Hurry up.
Organize your tribe and get it. But yeah, it's just going to be a great weekend of togetherness, community. The city of Carnation have been uber generous, and we have a lot of tricks up our sleeve. A lot of these special things that we talk about outside the regular programming, you won't know about until you get there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Excellent, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope it really goes well.
Me too.
You can find us, Air Raid, at www.air-raid.net, and also on Twitter and Facebook at Air Raid Net. So go check us out there. And remember, always go to iTunes. Download the show, and if you like it, please give us a star rating. Really helps us out in the long run and helps us continue to get great guests like Mr. Kevin Sir over to my dining room. Okay, well, speaking of Timber Outdoor Music Festival, this guy, Brian John Appleby, is going to be playing there.
Yes.
One of my favorites. He's been on this show. He was on episode, I think, 100. So go back and check that out. Super, super nice guy. And they've got a new album coming out sometime soon as well. So anyway, this is The Rider, The Horse, The Land, one of my favorite songs of theirs. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
You fill my cup and I fill yours.